James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Verse 20, for the wrath of God does not produce, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I hear people quote verse 19 all the time, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But I don't hear verse 20 often. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now that's hard, because sometimes we feel very self-righteous in our wrath, do we not? Absolutely. We will justify it a million ways. You know, and it was very humbling for me to sit in this seminar the other week with Chris, because I did pride myself and thought, yeah, well, I kept my kids under control, man. And Lisa, and wherever Laura is, somewhere around here, Lisa, I'm sorry. The intentions were good, sweetheart. Oh, well, live and learn. But I think you turned out okay. You know? But that's what Scripture says. That's the Word of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And Saul knew these principles. He was a Pharisee. He had committed them to memory in all likelihood. He knew them in the original language. But he was a Pharisee. And that's the problem. He had an outward conformance without the inward transformance. The outward conformance cannot change the heart. And where does wrath come from? It comes from the heart. It's an inward condition. Eventually it explodes, but it's latent and burning inside. So this was Saul, enslaved to bitterness, enslaved to rage and wrath, literally to the point where he was breathing it like his own breath through his body. And it fueled him. Now, how in the world did God manage to change Saul of Tarsus into the Apostle Paul? Well, let's take a look. Glad you asked. Number one, and it's more than I can completely answer today, but we'll get started. Number one, first of all, dude got saved. Amen? He got born again. He got saved on the road to Damascus. Paul was on his way from Jerusalem. He's headed for Damascus up the north. Now, he had, by the way, just, you know, as an aside, he had to come through Samaria to get there. And we've been studying Samaria for the last couple of weeks because Philip was there. Son of a gun. And something was going on in Samaria. Starts with an R. Who can tell me?
Revival.
Revival was going on. I mean, signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit being poured out. People getting saved. People getting baptized. People getting healed. All kinds of cool stuff was happening in Samaria. And when Saul was headed from Jerusalem to Damascus, guess where he had to go through? So he probably came across these, you know, charismatic Christians just partying in the Lord, all happy in the Lord. Scripture says there was great joy in that city. It probably just infuriated him all the more. I can imagine Paul arriving on the scene in Samaria where people are like, you know, woo, praise God, you know, speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And Paul's like, oh, man, you know, and just livid, lit up. And so he gets through there and he's on his way and he's almost to Damascus. Praise God. And God stops him in his tracks like a freight train. Suddenly a light shone from heaven around him. Literally the light of probably the glory of Jesus Christ shone around him. Now, it was noonday. This is the desert. What is noonday? Ian, what does noonday in the desert in the Middle East feel like? Hot and bright. Thank you very much. Yeah, it is. Noonday in the desert in the Middle East. It was already bright, but a light that outshone that suddenly appeared around him. In fact, it blinded him. And suddenly in the middle, he fell to the ground, probably slain in the spirit. Probably the presence of God is that light and that glory from God just enshrouded him. He probably just fell out on the ground and he heard a voice speaking to him. And it was the voice of Jesus Christ saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And not only does he hear Jesus, but we learn from other scriptures that in the midst of that light, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there's four other scriptures that where he testifies later on that said that he had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. For those who might be listening by the internet later, Acts chapter 9, 17, 9, 27, 1 Corinthians 9, 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 8. He says, I was on the road to Damascus and I saw the Lord in the midst of that glory. And he heard the voice of the Lord calling him, Saul, Saul. Now the men around him saw the light. They didn't get it as hard as Saul did. They saw the light, but they didn't see Christ. And they heard a voice, but the grammar in the Greek and the places where they describe it, they didn't understand what the voice was saying. So they saw a light, they heard the voice, but Paul was getting it between the eyes. He saw the Lord. He understood very well what the Lord was saying to him. And the voice said, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And he realized at that moment, as the freight train of God knocked him on his back, that this way that he was trying to destroy with every fiber of his strength was in fact the very way to God. And this person that he hated with such perfect hatred, Jesus, was none other than the Lord of glory himself. And you can imagine him trying to digest that. It rocked his world. It's a wonder he was able to stand at all after that. In fact, the light not only blinded him, it rocked him so hard, the scripture says he couldn't even eat or drink for 3 days. You ever have something hit you between the eyes like that? That rocks your world so bad that you just lose your appetite? It's like getting punched in the solar plexus. It literally knocks the wind out of you, and you're just stunned. What have I done? I remember when I got saved, the night I got saved, and I realized God finally revealed my sin to me, and I saw the life I had been living for the first time in the light of the way God saw it, and it rocked my world. I was stunned. I knew I was going to hell. And I just didn't even know how to respond. It was like it knocked the wind out of me. Thank God my mom was on my way to a crusade that night. Somebody was praying some serious prayers that night. Praise God. It rocked Saul's world. He couldn't eat or drink for 3 days. It blinded him physically. And all in that moment, all of those things that he heard Stephen say back in those debates came crashing in on him. All of those words of wisdom that had bounced off before, suddenly they were sinking in. Suddenly everything fell into place and made sense. To his horror, suddenly everything made sense. There's a song we used to do with Hearts Unveiled. It said, Now my eyes are open and it hurts to see the light. If you've been in darkness and you open your eyes, you think, oh, wonderful, light. I don't know. If you've been in darkness and you open your eyes, what does it feel like? It hurts. It hurts. And that's where Saul was. He was wounded horribly. Can you imagine? He's been putting men and women to death. But as that began to sink in and as the Lord began to minister to him, suddenly, and he saw all that ugliness of religion that was so worthless that he had worshipped so much before, now he saw it as garbage. He says he counted it as garbage so that he could know the beauty and the tenderness and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul of Tarsus got saved. And he became a new creature in Christ. God literally gave him a new heart and made him into a new man. That was the first step. Second step. When Christ appeared to Paul, he asked him a very pointed question. What did he say? To Saul, I mean. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Persecuting you? Who are you, Lord? Why are you persecuting me? In essence, the Lord was saying to him, when you are persecuting these believers, you're not just persecuting them, you are persecuting me personally. He appeared to him personally and said, when you persecute them, you're persecuting me. And you might remember, that's what he taught in Matthew 25, back in the Gospels. He said, assuredly, I say to you, Jesus says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You did it to me. When Saul was dragging men and women to prison, he was dragging away who? Jesus. When Saul was screaming at them, calling them heretics and infidels, he was screaming at Jesus. When he was beating them for their faith, he was beating upon Jesus. When he was sentencing them to death, he was sentencing who to death? Jesus. When he was orphaning their children, he was orphaning the children of Jesus. He didn't take an application from them. I'd like to kill you today. Do you have any kids? He dragged them out, beat them down, sentenced them to death, and orphaned their children. And Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You've orphaned my children. You've dragged me out and shamed me and beat me and sentenced me to death. My blood is on your hands, Saul.